You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20pm with Gary Capewell, Dale Gibson and Andy Holding in the studio. It's day three of the May Festival at Chester, which includes the D Stakes and the Ormond Stakes. We've also got all of the racing on the poly track at Lingfield and jumping from Market Racing in the afternoon. And it's Nottingham, Ripon and Ascot in the evening, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton. And joining me in the studio is James Millman. How are you, James?
Very well, thank you, Mark. Sounding better than you.
Yeah. Thanks.
As long as you don't infect everybody else.
I've infected all of the microphones in here. So.
Oh, disgrace. That's why I'm keeping it well away.
Yeah. Actually, I haven't used that headset yet, so you might get away with it.
I could survive.
Yeah. Plenty of talk about James. Looking back at the first day of the May Festival at Chester. Bit of an Oaks clue, I suppose, in the shape of Somehow, who's currently 20-1 in the market with us at William Hill. She was out the back and niggled and didn't
really...
Hard
work.
Yeah, but she still got the job done, so she'll have learned a lot from that.
That's the thing, that's why Aidan does send quite a few horses to Chester, because the tight turn nature of the track doesn't mean they learn a lot, especially horses which have won their maiden pretty easily on a conventional track in Ireland. They don't really learn that much more than what they do at home, so to prepare them for Epsom, Chester's a good track to get him going. And yes, she was not impressive at all, but Aidan said afterwards that she only ever does just enough at home. She doesn't ever be flashy in her work, and always watching it, you kind of thought she was always going to get there. So I know that a bare margin of form isn't great, and 21 is a perfectly fair price for a form, but if minding etc don't go for the Oaks, which there's no guarantees, she could be the one to be a Bayadoa representative. And I think 21 could turn out to be quite a big price on the day.
Yeah, I suppose there's every chance that Minding might not be in the Derby yet. So
exactly, we don't really know what's happening. It's very early days. It's not very long away, really. It's only another month yet. We're not really very clear who's going to be turning up. And obviously, we've got lots of trials coming up. The Lingfield Oaks trial will be a little bit more interesting. But at the moment, I was pretty impressed, to be honest. And I think she will improve. And she's a nice filly for the future.
Yeah, I must make note that we are recording this on Thursday before the running of the Chester Vars and so on, so this opinion might have changed completely by
exactly Friday. This week's very important for the trials. We'll have a much clearer picture from now on in.
And then we've got the Dante meeting next week as well, where it could all change yet again.
Exactly.
So it's an interesting time of year, really, isn't it? We learn something throughout the week. The good thing is it's in the middle of the week, isn't it, as well? You learn a few things. And
it moves quickly, bearing in mind Guineas at the weekend. It was straight into the Derby Oaks trials, and first week in June, we're at Epsom itself. So unlike the jump season, which obviously all gets going for Cheltenham Main Street at the end, the flat's pretty instant, bang, ready to go. So lots of interest in racing at the moment.
Yeah. The first staying handicap of the season took place on Wednesday as well, the Chester Cup, and it went the way of a jumps trainer in the shape of Nicky Henderson. No Heretic coming home in front there. Were you impressed with that performance?
Yeah, he won well. Although Nicky obviously wasn't expecting too much as he went to Kelso instead of going to Chester. But no Heretic, a classy horse in his younger days. Over much shorter trips, I had a leg injury after winning at Leicester. Apparently, he jumped over a fox and did a tendon, which meant he was off a track for nearly 1,000 days. They sent him to Nicky Henderson to try and get in the saddle a little bit better. And although he was extremely keen when he ran over hurdles at Newbury, and he was still pretty keen yesterday, he pulled Jamie Spencer's arms out for a good 1 mile, 4 furlongs. But a very steady pace in the Chester Cup, and it meant that it wasn't really a stamina test at that kind of trip, was what it normally is, as John Rio, Adam Curley went very steady fractions out in front, and it just meant that it basically was a 4 furlong sprint, so no Heretic speed really came into play. And I think in a more conventional track, his stamina might not be quite so strong, but class-wise, he did it nicely, and it was just a very, very good Jamie Spencer ride, and he avoided all the trouble. Cracking effort.
Yeah, Spencer with a good ride there. Ryan Moore had a good day. Anything else stand out to you at Chester?
Not Thursday. It was generally a little bit low-key. I think the two-year-olds, Early Agnes, perhaps wasn't the strongest. I think we'll see stronger Royal Ascot contenders than we saw in that race. The winner had already got beat a couple of times. But no, I'm looking forward to days two and three. And obviously the Lingford Trials and the York Dante meeting, very important next week.
One more thing I want to mention from Aidan O'Brien's stable. Air Force Blue ran in the Guineas last weekend. Obviously, it was very disappointing. Possibly dropping him back in trip to go to the July Cup.
You could certainly see that happening because ultimately it was very disappointing. The Trevor's really that ran. He was beat at the free pole. So any kind of trip, he wouldn't have won. Sons of War Chant, there's always the concern that they don't actually improve too much from two to three. That will be interesting. So he may drop back to six furlongs. Really, to be fair, we've got to see him again before you can make any kind of conviction, because at the moment he hasn't trained on, but there's only one run. The market vibes are so strong that he must have been working well at home, and it may just have been an off day. We've really got to see him out again before you can have a firm opinion, but I could certainly see him dropping back to sprinting, being a classy horse back at the sprint distance, because he was such a decent two-year-old.
That's the thing though, isn't it? The fact that they put the tongue tie on.
It was a worry. Cross nose man as well.
Yeah. And he drifted on the day. Disappointed in the race. The question is whether he's trained on. Do they risk running him in the July Cup? Because if he disappoints there, it kind of blows his two-year-old reputation away, doesn't it?
A two-year-old reputation will always be there. He's blown it already. Yes. It was so bad that if he don't run again, we know he's not trained on.
Yeah.
If they run again and he runs badly again, we know he hasn't trained on. But if he runs well, there's hope for the offspring being good sprinting three-year-olds. So they've got to try again. They can't just wrap him up. Obviously, Glen Eagles last year, we never saw him all season, and he had a reappearance at the end, but he never really did anything. But it'll be interesting to see if he does ever come back to anywhere near that two-year-old best.
Yeah. Final bit of news. It's that Jason Maguire has retired, which is sad news that he's had to retire through injury. He's done well to be so highly regarded in an era of top-quality jump jockeys, really,
yeah,
hasn't he?
Against AP and Rich Johnson. He probably was one that would have given Rich Johnson a real battle this year. But unfortunately, he had some horrendous injuries, and it wasn't surprising news when he announced his retirement today, but it's still disappointing for any sportsman for their career to be cut short through injury rather than through choice. And I wish him all the luck in his retirement. I think he's playing quite a big part in advising the Rooneys at the moment, and that's obviously going to keep him very busy. They've got horses at loads of different yards, and I'm sure he's going to find things to do. But like I say, it's always unfortunate if retirement cuts a sportsman's career, and I'd say he didn't quite fulfil that champion jockey potential which so many people thought he had, which will always be frustrating for him. But he was a huge talent in the saddle. Ballybriggs' Grand National win, probably one of the highlights, and just a very, very good jockey.
Yeah, I think he's going to become race manager, isn't he, for the Rooneys?
I think he's been kind of in that role since the latest injury, and I'd say wish him all the luck.
Yeah, I'll echo that. Let's move on anyway. Let's get stuck into Friday's action. We're going to look at the first four races at Chester on the final day of the May Festival. We'll get James's thoughts in those races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Friday's action. The first race on the Rooney is the 2.10, and this one is a Class 2 handicap over 7 furlongs and 122 yards, so it's 7.5 furlongs, really. We've got 4-year-olds and older in here, a field of 12, James, and we do have betting on site as well. Archie is the 5-1 market leader. Gabriel's Kaka, 11-2, 15-2 Sound Advice. Perfect Pasture is 8s with Hillbilly Boy and Arnold Lane. 9-1 for Bold Prediction, and 11-1 are bigger prices for the others. Quite an open start to the card here, James.
I thought it was an impossible start to the card, to be honest, Mark, because none of these are really in good form. A lot of them have been running well in the winter. It's a question mark if they're going to transfer that on to turf, and some of those have got very bad draws anyway. So interesting to see that the Clive Cox run is near the head of the market. Archie's lightly raced. He's going to be progressive. I thought he ran well in his comeback 34 days ago, and he's a nice draw in stall 5, so I think he's definitely the one to beat. Gabriel's Carcar obviously got course form, and he's going to be hard pressed from stall 2. He's going to be very, very dangerous. Obviously, Dr. Kukash loves runners at Chester and has been a target for quite a while, but he was a beaten favourite when he returned 13 days ago, and that's got to be a little bit of a concern for him. So I just favour the Clive Cox runner. One at a price, Glen Almond, probably each way. He's been highly regarded by Nicole Burks. They were running a lot of group races. Things haven't worked out, and he was disappointing in the first Hunt Cup the other day, but this is much quicker ground. Could see him to better effect. And if you want one at a big price, Glen Almond could be the one.
Do you go with the one at big
Archie's
price?
Archie's a selection, you but if that. You the listeners that perhaps want to do two up at Glen Almond up at double figure odds.
On to the second race on the card next, which is the 240. This is the D Stakes, a listed race over a mile and a quarter. This one's for the three-year-olds. The market headed at the moment by Linguistic, who's 7-4. Cook Island, 9-4. Houses of Parliament is 5-1. 9-1 for High Grounds. 12s or bigger for the rest. Some real powerful stables represented here. John Gosden has the favourite in Linguistic. Aidan O'Brien has two in there, and he's got a very good recent record in the race as well, winning it with the likes of Kingfisher and Magician and Astrology in recent years. So a good race to look forward to, the D6.
Yeah, I think this could go the way of Godolphin and John Gosden, though, because I was really impressed with Linguistic when he made a winning return. I thought that was a strong race at Newmarket, and I didn't actually expect him to win, to be honest. But he travelled extremely strongly and powered clear. Should be ideal, and I think he's going to be hard to beat. Obviously, you've got to respect that Aidan O'Brien's got a couple in the race. Cook Islands would appear to be the number one, obviously with Ryan Moore on board, but he stuck out in stall 8, and he got beat on his return, and he finished 4th 26 days ago, which is disappointing if he's going to be a Derby candidate to have run so below form. Houses of Parliament, Jamie Heffernan takes the ride in him. He's got a tongue tie on, but he won nicely on your weather the other day, and he's much better drawn in stall 1, so I think he might end up being the number one of the Ballydore contingent, but I don't think either of them will be able to beat Linguistic for John Gosden.
Linguistic for James there. Then the third race we look at is the 310 at Chester. This is the Boodle's Diamond Ormond Stakes, a Group 3 over a mile and 5 furlongs. The market's headed by Dartmouth at the moment, who's 2-1. 7-2 Wicklow Brave. Simra is 4-1. 5-1 Father Christmas. Oriental Fox 13-2, and it's double figure prices, 14s and 66s respectively for Elidor and Blue Rambler. We'll start with the market leader here, James Dartmouth, who is trained by Sir Michael Stout. Ryan Moore in the saddle in the Queen's colours and made a very impressive reappearance when stepping up to the strip for the first time.
Exactly. Did it nice, didn't he, when the Newbury meeting was transferred to Chelmsford. And he was a really progressive three-year-old last year. He's got form at Goodwood, so the sharp nature of the track should be ideal. And I just think he's a massive improver. He has got a £3 penalty, but with stall 2 and Ryan Moore on the plate, I don't think that'll be a problem. And for me, he's the one to beat. Obviously, an interesting contest. Wicklow Brave representing Willie Mullins had a good year last year on the flat. Stall 7, even over a mile 6, is a little bit of concern. Going to be stuck a little bit wide. And I think he just needs to improve, perhaps against a horse like Dartmouth. Kim Rowe is interesting because he's got course form, as Tom Duscombe obviously runs a lot of horses here. And he won impressively 20 days ago, so he's going to be dangerous. And Father Christmas, got to respect him, because Baidoa have kept him in training as a four-year-old, so they must think he's got further improvement. So a really interesting race, but I do like Dartmouth. I think the Queen's got a decent horse on her hands.
Dartmouth then for James there. And the last race we look at is the 3:45 at Chester, which is a Class 2 handicap. It's over 5 furlongs. It's for the three-year-olds. And the betting at the time of recording this is headed by Catchy, who's 5-2. 4-1 Montchiara. El Astronaut is 4-1. 5-1 for Birdcage. 10s Rifle Scope and 11s or bigger for the others. We'll start with Catchy, James. Unbeaten as a two-year-old, winning twice over 5 furlongs, once at Chester over this course and distance, and then following up at Goodwood. Made his reappearance over 7 at Newmarket. That didn't seem to work, so they're dropping him back to sprinting.
Yeah, they ran him in the Guineas trial at Newmarket, and like you say, absolutely failed, but Connections are not wasting any more runs. Straight back to 5 furlongs. Obviously, Chester, a track the Duscombe team love to get winners at, and he won his maiden here. Malcolm Form, back in a handicap, is going to be strong. And ultimately, most of these sprinters look a little bit exposed. So despite the fact that running off a mark of 105, don't see too many three-year-olds and handicaps off that mark. Good draw in stall 3. He's going to be very, very hard to beat. Main danger, I think, will be the John Quinn. El Astronauta, he's only got 8 stone 5, Sylvester D'Souza in the plate, and he's perfectly joined in stall 1. So he would be the alternative to Daskam horse. But I think, put a line for that 7 furlong effort, back down to the minimum trip. Catchy is going to be very, very hard to beat.
Good stuff, James. Let's just have a little bit of a summary. If you'll spin us through your 4 selections for Chester then one more time.
Yeah, some good racing to look forward to tomorrow. 210 is a really tricky opener. Archie, an unexposed sort, could go very close for Clive Cox. In the 240, I really like Linguistic. I was very impressed with his win at Newmarket. And I think John Gosden's got a very good horse in his hands. In the Ormondi at the 310, Dartmouth, another decent horse for the Queen. Won very well at Chelmsford, and I think he's improved from 3-4. And then finally, in that 345, Catchy is a selection. He can transfer that group form back in the handicap company, back at a sprint distance.
Superb. Good work, James. Thank you very much. Good luck, and enjoy it on Friday.
No worries.
There you go. The thoughts of James Millman on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. with Gary Capewell, Dale Gibson and Andy Holding in the studio. It's day 3 of the May Festival at Chester. Some good racing to look forward to there. All Weather Racing on the poly track at Lingfield alongside that, and National Hunt Racing from Market Raising in the afternoon, and good evening of flat racing to come as well. Nottingham, Ripon and Ascot on Friday night. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.